great night. It's been a great week for U.S. athletics. So we are having a great week, me and Mr. Musab Tariq. And if you are hearing that wonderful sound, you are on the RBLR Bulls show. Thank you so much for joining us. Hope you'll stick around because we've got a bunch to talk about, almost too much to talk about, frankly. But there's never too much to talk about when it comes to USF athletics. But a lot of movement with the football team. There's been some basketball being played. Baseball season starting to heat up a little bit. And, you know, we'll talk about some other stuff USF athletics related to, I am sure. But before I go any further, if you are joining us for the first time or whether you're a returning listener, if you like what you hear, hit that like and subscribe button. We'd really appreciate it. Or leave some comments. You know, we are live and we'd love to hear from y'all. We'd love to hear from USF Nation. I know it's been a crazy week and, you know, people are excited, myself more than perhaps anyone, honestly. So we're going to talk about it. But before we go any further, I'd also have to introduce my wonderful co-host, Mr. Musab Tariq. How you doing tonight, my friend?
So far, so good, Carter. Feels like, you know, signing day for myself, you know, and I'm taking my talents to the University of South Florida.
I just actually just,
I got this bad boy for, as a gift not too long ago. So I figured, you know, I usually just wear a regular hat. So, you know what? I also I have a USF polo. I wanted to wear that, actually, but I couldn't find it. I think it's maybe in the laundry or something. So I'm repping some green, but
yeah, I'm actually,
hell yeah, man.
Go Bulls. I've got a USF quarter zip that I got for Christmas. That's pretty clutch, especially in the 2 weeks of winter that we get here in Tampa, Florida, you know? So yeah, it's an exciting time to be a USF Bulls fan. We will start with the football stuff because that's what everyone's talking about. I know basketball season is in full swing. Conference play just started and we'll get to that for sure. Do not get me wrong, but I wanted to start off with the big news. A lot of movement in the transfer portal. And I won't just list out the names. I want to focus on a few highlights because there are kind of a lot of names that are coming into town that have been announced, that have been confirmed by the team. So I wanted to focus on a few from my perspective. And then Musab, if you have any that you wanted to focus on as well. And then we'll have some kind of general takeaways. And we'll talk about a couple of the returners because there are a couple of guys that are sticking around. But first, I want to start with the guys that we have coming in. And there are a few names that really stick out. And the first one is Grayson Howard. In case you don't know, I think his nickname is Pup. Is that right? I believe. Yeah. So kind of interesting guy. A big name for linebacker from UF, a coverage linebacker off ball. He's a senior. This will be his final season. But he's super talented. I mean, a guy coming from UF, they're always going to be really good. He just had a lot of injuries in his collegiate career so far, but this is an elite pickup. This is one of those situations where they had Mac Harris and Jalen Schuler for the past two seasons, and they were amazing, great, wonderful. But now that they're gone, they need to replace him. And Grayson Howard is a really great place to start. So I was really excited about him. And then another guy on the defensive side of the ball, because USF's offense was super high powered this past season, but their defense struggled a little bit at times. So the defensive side of the ball really could use some work, especially with a lot of key departures. But CJ Hicks from Ohio State, kind of a hybrid pass rusher linebacker type. It'll be interesting to see how they deploy him, but he's a former top 10 recruit. There's people saying that this might be the most talented player that USF has ever had walk in their building, which is really crazy to say because they've had some really tremendous players, JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. They both have excellent NFL careers. CJ Hicks might have an NFL career too. He's got the potential to play on Sundays. And then the last one I wanted to get to, switch it to the other side of the ball, Armad Branch from Purdue. He had an okay 2025. He's a former four-star. He's coming into his fourth season. He had three at Purdue. It was kind of weird. A lot of people online have been saying that he started off as kind of a wide receiver one for them, like a lot of targets, but then for whatever reason, kind of fell out of favor with the offensive coordinator, or maybe they didn't like how he's practicing. Whatever the reason is, super talented receiver, and you can trust that if Brian Hartline likes a guy, probably a good sign. So, yeah, Armad Branch out of Purdue, definitely expecting some big things from him. Are there any other names, Mr. Tariq, that you wanted to focus on? I know I kind of hid the lead a little bit with probably the biggest name that people want to talk about if you want to touch on the quarterback position, which they also address. But any other names that really stood out to you?
Yeah, first one another Buckeye, Bryson Rogers, was a he's from the Tampa area, balled out at Wiregrass Ranch High School.
Hey, there you go.
former four-star, and, He's the talent's there. He's just finally getting a chance to shine. As you said it yourself, it's just, a very competitive wide receiver room. I'm sure there was a hard line effect to it as well. I think some of these guys just use this as a good opportunity just to kind of, find their belonging elsewhere. It's not always just about being on the best of the best, So that's one guy. The other one I would probably have to say is I was going to go with Shamar Mikely from Oregon State. Guy who's just been everywhere. He had 28 tackles, 2 sacks, 5 quarterback hurries, and he's only a sophomore. So, he's definitely got some time with us, hopefully if things go well and all that. But I have to say, though, it is nice seeing, some of these, these guys coming from big name schools from South Carolina, West Virginia, UF. The talent's there. They got recognized by these big schools, when they had first signed, and, for whatever reason, it's just, a competitive room, in every position, especially with the big dogs and the Power Four conference. So, but I know there's some other, real big ones, that I'm sure you want to talk about as well, Carter, probably a couple massive ones.
Yeah, I did. I mean, it's not like a victory lap because I wasn't like openly proclaiming it or anything, but in the group chat and in this agenda, we were going to talk about quarterbacks because they hadn't signed quarterbacks that were going to start. I mean, they signed Luke Kromenhoek. Good gracious, I'm so sorry for mispronouncing that, I'm sure. But he started at FSU, then transferred to Mississippi State. Now he's at USF, and he's really fascinating. Like, he played wide receiver and safety in high school, so he's uber athletic. Like, he's definitely a more of the dual threat type of quarterback. So that'll be an interesting sort of storyline to watch out for. But the guy he's competing with is probably the biggest. Well, biggest. He's the bigger name in terms of this position. Michael Van Buren from LSU. I really like this guy. He kind of got, I don't want to say he got hosed at LSU because, he didn't necessarily blow anyone out of the water or anything. Like, he played okay in the career starts that he made at LSU. But by the time he was playing, Brian Kelly was fired. They're on an interim head coach. Like, they're already dealing with an atrocious offensive line. Like, LSU's offensive line last year was really, really bad. So there were a lot of disadvantages. And then before that, he was at Mississippi State, which, Mississippi State's been struggling. They're kind of on the lower tier of the SEC. So I have a lot of faith. This guy's got a really accurate arm. I don't know if he's got nearly as much athleticism as Luke, the other quarterback that they brought in to recruit. But he's got enough to maybe be a little bit shifty, make some noise. Certainly not Byron Brown in that regard. But, yeah, I'm really excited for him. He's thrown for 2,800 yards in his college career. But he's a proven winner. In high school, he went to high school in Baltimore. And like I said, just kind of been dealt some tough hands in the SEC. But I think being given this opportunity to sort of earn this QB1 spot and settle in at the American Conference and do some really nice things with a offensive-minded head coach like Brian Hartline, who can put some elite wide receiver talent around him in terms of the American Conference. So I'm really excited about that. I think they've done a great job with the quarterback room, getting two guys that could potentially start, and they both provide a little bit of different things. So that's kind of fun. But another thing I wanted to highlight was Zay Hardy out of South Carolina, number one JUCO prospect in 2025 before entering action with the Gamecocks. Only appeared in one game, but he was really good when he was in junior college. So he's got a lot of high upside. And I don't know, he's going to form kind of a really dynamic duo with this defensive line, especially with Asani Redwood out of West Virginia, who's another guy they picked up. He's a bit more experienced in D1, but he also is a JUCO guy. He had a little bit more playing time at West Virginia, but I'm really excited for this defense, especially. I think they picked up a lot of guys, but before we move on,
I'm just happy to see, we have a lot of guys who are coming in with, as you were talking about, before we started our pod, with a lot of tape, I'm saying?
100%.
And, I know, actually right before I came on home, I remember I got some news that we actually got, for example, Morgan State running back Jason Collins. An absolute stud now, so there's, we know plenty about him, and, now he wants to, again, hang with the big dogs, go up to the next level. So, I'll tell you this, it's only been, 48 hours You know what I'm saying? On that, you know, these right. these moves have been made. So we still have a lot more to see. Transfer portal is open until I think it's like January 16th, something like that.
That sounds right.
So still plenty of time. And I have to also mention that the quarterback room is also cool to see with the, you know, experience, because you got Hartline's brother as a QB coach. And yes. then on top of that, you also have Trey Holtz, who I think who's like the offensive analyst, who worked with Van Buren. So just a lot of familiarity, a little fun familiarity. Both Luke, however you say his last name, and Van Buren were at one time both Mississippi State, Bulldogs. So
yeah,
it's pretty interesting to see as well, if you think about it. So something bad about Mississippi State.
Right. Yeah, they'll be able to talk about Stark Vegas and their shared experiences in Starkville, Mississippi, limited as they may be. It's definitely an interesting crop of guys that they brought in, and we'll keep talking about them as the offseason moves on in terms of football, because, you know, there's a lot to break down here, and there's some guys that we haven't even mentioned. There's some more guys that are going to come in as well. Like Musab, like you said, there's going to be a lot of movement in the next week, because there's still time, you know, so this is going to be an ongoing topic. But those are kind of the highlights that I wanted to touch on, because hey, it's an exciting time, and these are some exciting players. You know, that this should really bolster a roster that, you know, they needed just bodies, but they didn't just get bodies. They got guys that can really play. So I'm really excited. And speaking of, I know I mentioned this in the little intro to this segment, but we have some returners too. Wyatt Sullivan, who is a great Twitter follow. We follow each other on Twitter. Shout out to him. Starting tight end from last year. Really nice to have a little bit of familiarity with the USF program. He also transferred over from FAU before that, so he's really familiar with the American Conference. That experience is invaluable. Entering his last season, very talented tight end, very solid, really, really kind of a pillar, like a model of consistency. So I think that Van Buren, Kramenhoek, whoever starts at quarterback, they'll have a really like solid safety valve at the tight end position. And then Alvin Isaac, another returner from last season. He's been here since his freshman year, actually. And this is going to be his third season. Struggled a little bit with fumbles last year. You know, he's also a punt returner. He plays a little bit of special teams too, but very dynamic runner, very shifty, very fast. And if he can hold on to the football, he can be really, really good. So I'm really excited that the USF got both of those guys back. I think that those were two pretty key returnees. Obviously Byron Brown would have been nice, but he's in Auburn. It's been official, like it's been officially announced, which, you know, was kind of expected. I don't know that any of us were really shocked by that. So, but it was really nice to get those guys back. But obviously there's a lot of transfer portal movement, but there are some recruits that I wanted to talk about too, Mr. Tariq, and you did a really phenomenal job putting this together. So I wanted to let you kind of take the reins on this. Are there any guys coming out of high school as opposed to college guys, that really popped for you or that really stood out?
Yeah. We got a handful of guys, but I think the one that, you know, I have to give a shout out to, or I have to discuss, is Jason Franklin, running back. He went to 71st High School in Fayetteville, North Carolina. During his high school career, 4,400 rushing yards, 49 total touchdowns. I mean, he was senior year averaging 165 rushing yards per game, had 17 rushing touchdowns. So, you know, the big takeaway is that, I mean, he's a workhorse. You know, he's got a bunch of, you know, volume production, and, you know, got the ability to score. So, I mean, he'll definitely be a role player, at minimum. Who knows what kind of career he has. So I'm really looking forward to that. But just some local guys I just want to give a shout out to, just because, you know, I've heard about them, or, you know, I've seen, other teams around, you know, the areas, you know, playing against them. Damari Roberts from Lakewood High School, just role player, big frame, you know, it's constant output. I remember he was putting in work every single game. Gabe LeGrand from Lake Wales High School, real good program over there. So, yeah, three-star wide receiver. The other one, though, I have to, I have to mention is, or maybe two, I'll start off with Demetrius Gethers, who was D-line and edge from West Boca Raton High School. West Boca Raton actually went to their state runner-ups. He's absolute beast, 6'3", 210 pounds. He's kind of like in the mid-80s when it comes to, like, you know, recruiting rating on 247 ESPN. But
you know, hopefully, you know, he, you know, can at least be plugged in, you know, he gels in well and, you know, has a successful, you know, time at USF. But we got to talk about another Grammatica who has joined the USF forces, Gaston Grammatica from Cambridge Christian High School here in Tampa. So joining his older brother, Nico. But this is not just the whole, oh, he's just because he's a Grammatica, we're just going to let him slide in. You know what I'm saying? You know, this guy's talented himself. Hit a 62-yard field goal, longest in school history. Made a 55-yard field goal and was perfect on 23 extra points during last season. Finished this past season 46 or 49 on point attempts, field goals combined. So he was, you know, recognized as a high school All-American kicker. Was ranked number 4 this year by 247. He had, you know, got offers from UNC and Texas as well. So yeah, I mean, he's. He's a Grammatica indeed.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, my goodness, like to be able to bring in a guy like that who, you know, compete with the big programs like UNC and Texas, those are big name schools for sure.
Kind of reminds me of the Borregales family.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, shout out Borregales, man. Those guys are the best. Yeah. So yeah, it's really interesting. That's been a really fascinating thing to monitor is all the high school stuff. Because, Mr. Trigg, please forgive me if I'm wrong, but you've been covering a little bit of local high school football. Isn't that right?
A little bit. So, oh, yeah. So
you've got a little familiarity.
I've seen Damari Roberts and I've seen Gabe LeGrand myself.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is the perfect perfect thing for you to talk about. Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of the high school ranks. There's also three new head coaches. Elijah Roberts, new running back coach. Well, new. It was new a few weeks ago, but we kind of missed it a little bit last week because the holidays and whatnot. So Elijah Roberts, new running back coach. He's joining from Virginia Tech. I know people kind of look at least I do, the pipelines on College Football 26, like they have kind of the different areas of the country. And this guy's pipeline would definitely be the DMV. So that's kind of fascinating. So he's, you know, a proven player developer. He's coached, you know, NFL caliber backs like Anthony McFarland Jr. At his previous stops at previous schools. There's also Mike Seleni. He's an offensive line / running game coordinator. So kind of interesting. 30 under 30 rising star type of thing, a 24/7 sports segment that they do for younger guys. So he's been really around the block, and he was part of that national championship team at Ohio State in 2024 and UNLV's rushing attack. He was kind of one of the top dogs in that department too. So, really interesting there as well. And then Miles White, the new wide receiver coach, another former NFL wideout like Coach Hartline. So really interesting hires there as well. Wanted to highlight, but we've talked enough about football. I feel like, you know, they're not even in season. So what are we doing yapping about them so much, but, we'll keep talking about them because there's some big news coming out of this program and, transfer portal is not going to close for a little bit. And, you know, we'll have stuff to talk about, tape to break down. But women's basketball team, they are playing some pretty good basketball, some pretty darn good basketball, especially in the conference. They took down University of North Texas. They jumped out to a 22-10 lead in the first quarter, never looked back. You know, they had a couple of good performances from Megan Nestor. She's a double-double machine, so that was expected. And then Miss Proctor. We'll just go with that. She's a good scorer. But other than those two gals, they couldn't really get much going. So pretty good game from USF. But who from USF really stood out for you from this victory, Musab? Because they were in Denton for this game, or was this a home game? I can't even remember.
Oh, man. I'm forgetting from the top of my head as well.
Right.
Oh, man. Yeah. But another double-double for Carla Brito, her third one. Third one in a row with 11 points, 10 rebounds. Just really nice to see just because, you know, from the start of the season, you know, her name wasn't really out there, wasn't getting much reps. But, you know, whenever she got her time to shine, you know, she's been balling out since. And on top of that, it's been so good to have Eden Battle back. She racked up 17 points, 4 assists, you know, just, you know, big performances from them too. And then big performances from, you know, everyone else. I have to say, you know, Katie Davidson only just played about like 10, 15 minutes or something, but Lauren Putu and Fatu Diakite, you know, also stepping up to the plate as well. But the other good news is another win in the conference against UAB, Carter.
That's right.
This one's Katie Davidson had balled out this time. Eden with 20 points, season high, 2 3-pointers. Eden Battle with 18 points and 6 assists, which was her season high. And another game high was by Lauren Putu with 14 rebounds. So USF was pretty dominant, especially with the fast break. I mean, racked up 25 points on fast breaks compared to UAB, who only had 4. In the second quarter, I mean, USF women's basketball team was locking UAB down, only allowed 6 points in the second quarter. So this was pretty big just because UAB was a little bit on a home win streak, a 5-game home win streak. USF ended that. And Stephanie Ingram herself, balled out and now currently leads the American Athletic Conference in assists. So just nice to see, you know, role players, you know, stepping up as well. There's actually one name I just totally forgot to mention. She was actually a bench player it's such a long last name, but as soon as it comes to mind, I have to give her a shout out. But next up, they play Memphis this Saturday on January 10th. It's a 6-9 Memphis team. They're 0-2 in the AAC. Just some names to look out for if you're watching. DeJay Richmond, who's their guard, kind of the heart of the team, leads, you know, in assists and steals, 2.5 steals per game. She has dropped double digits. So, just got to lock her down. And on top of that, in the paint, we got to lock down Tamia Smith, who's a forward, leads them in rebounds and blocks. They're going to, you know, just have to get her out of the way on defense and, you know, on offense on both, you know, especially dominate on the rebounds. USF women's basketball team actually currently leads the conference in defensive rebound. So I'm hoping we see the same thing. Keep that fast break dominance going, and, you know, clean up the glass. I'm expecting Lauren Putu to have another big rebound game, especially stopping, you know, any sort of extra possessions for Memphis.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah. And it's been such an excellent stretch for this women's basketball team. You know, like you said, those 2 straight victories to get into conference play, really huge, man. Yeah, really, really big. And they've been, all those performances, man, have just been so huge from all the best players. You know, it's not really a surprise for them to get the big time performances from Battle and Davidson and Mputu, because those were kind of the ladies that they expected to really step up, and step up they have. So,
it was Jelena Bulajic. She's a freshman guard. She's from Montenegro. She actually was on the American Athletic Conference, like top 5 plays of the week at number 2. Actually, she had this really sick assist. So she cooked up on there. I think she racked up. I'm forgetting exactly how many points, but she was out there. I'm actually gonna pull it up right now. I feel so bad. I even had it with me, man. But it's just so nice to see a handful of players, Carter, you know, from this team stepping up. It's like, you know, as long as you have three of these girls, you know, having a great game, I feel like it's kind of a locked in win. You know what I'm saying? So just a handful of just talent. And it's just so nice to see that, you know, we're still hot.
Yeah, even after losing Coach Fernandez, you know, they haven't really missed a beat. You know, they had the big time win versus Duke, and they've been really cooking in conference play. So the women's basketball team very much in full force for sure. So that's been really encouraging to see. And like you said, they play Memphis on Saturday. So that's kind of their next matchup coming up. So we'll have to keep a watch on that. But moving on to men's basketball, unfortunately not as much good news there. UAB, they took an L against them this past Sunday. Was a really tight game. They had a really outstanding first half and a really outstanding first half of the second half. They were up 10 or 11 points with like 5 minutes left, I think, to go. And then it just kind of fell apart. They were getting into some foul trouble. CJ Brown fouled out, and he didn't have a great shooting night, but he's really their kind of their engine offensively. He gets a lot of things going. He's a really good playmaker. And then there was a lot of sloppiness. Like, they almost doubled UAB's turnover count. So that was kind of tough, but that's just how it be sometimes, you know. That it was a tough loss. It went into double overtime. I don't know if I mentioned that, but yeah, it was a really close game, really back and forth. The good news is Wes Ennis, my goodness, he had a 30 plus point game. I think he almost had 40 points if I remember correctly, but just so many three pointers. It was just a really, really impressive performance from him. And Isaiah Nelson, he also had a great double-double. He's just a double-double machine, and he still plays great defense on the interior as well. So it was really impressive to watch them go to work. Even if they didn't have the result that they wanted, they played really hard. They can clean those things up. But yeah, it was a really, really fun game to watch, even if they didn't necessarily get the result they wanted. And tonight they are taking on UNT, University of North Texas. They will be in Denton, tonight for that game. So that'll be really interesting. So we'll see how that goes as well. But before we talk about that game, if you're here, definitely hit that like and subscribe button. We'd really appreciate it, because, hey, we're talking about football and now we're talking about basketball. We're going to keep talking about this stuff throughout the rest of the basketball season and then into the offseason for football. We'd really appreciate the support, and you can keep up with USF, because, hey, the athletic department never stops. It never sleeps, and neither do we in terms of USF Bulls coverage. So now, let's talk about North Texas basketball team, their men's basketball team, because obviously the women's basketball team, USF took care of business with them. Musab, what do you think that USF has to do to take care of business versus UNT? Are there any key players that we want to watch out for? What are you looking for tonight in this matchup against the Mean Green?
Absolutely. The player I'm really looking at is, yeah, Jashawn Stevenson. He's their guard, leading scorer, 16.7 points per game. He's a volume shooter. He just dropped 21 on Tulsa. So, ooh, I mean, if he gets hot early, we could be in trouble. But, I mean, you know, they got talent all around. But, you know, just some things that, you know, to be aware about is, and I mean, I really wasn't aware UNT's like this. But, you know, first of all, shout out to Fox Sports for this information. UNT, first of all, is on a 14-game winning streak. Okay, they've won 25 their last 25, six games there. So, perhaps, you know, they feed off that crowd, and, you know, they really do got that home court advantage. They are definitely a defense first kind of team. They currently rank 12th in the nation in scoring defense, only giving up 63.4 points per game. So the interesting thing to see here is that they are top 15 in the country at defending the 3-point line, holding teams, you know, about 28%. So just going to be fun, because USF just hit 16 threes in their last game, mainly being the Wes Ennis show. Ennis with a 36 point performance. So that's going to be another thing to look at is, you know, what players, Carter, are, you know, you expecting to, you know, step up or, you know, have a day for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, Wes Ennis is a big one, because good gracious, he just had an outpouring of points. I mean, bucket after bucket after bucket. It seemed like anytime USF needed a bucket on Sunday that he got it to him, and it was really impressive to watch. But yeah, he's a big one. But obviously, you know, Joseph Pinion, he had a bit of a down game on Sunday, didn't nearly shoot as well as he normally does, because, man, when he gets hot, he can really light it up. But it'll be interesting to see how USF deals with that top 15 three-point line defense for North Texas, because, like you said, they are coming off a game where they shot Wes Ennis specifically shot the roof off. I mean, it was impressive to watch. He was just in a zone. And yeah, you know, playing a defense like this, luckily USF gets to the foul line a lot. I'll be curious to see if they're still able to do so against such a sound defensive team like North Texas. So yeah, this is a lot. I mean, this is going to be a tough game. I don't know what to make of their chances tonight. It'll certainly be a really, really good game. Josh Omojofo is going to have to play a big part too, because he can really get to the rim at a high level. He's definitely probably, if I had to label him, he's more of their cutting threat, not necessarily as much of a shooter as Pinion and Ennis, but he can definitely get to the hoop. And yeah, CJ Brown, like I mentioned earlier, he's definitely the primary distributor. He's always going to keep the ball moving. You know, he's their point guard. And we'll see if Isaiah Nelson can continue his double-double ways, because he has been putting it up like nobody's business. But he's going to be going up against Dylan Arnett, who's a really, really tough customer in the paint there. So, yeah, this is going to be a really great game. I don't know who comes out on top. I mean, we won't do any predictions. We try not to do any predictions on this show, but we'll definitely be talking about this next week because this is going to be a really, really excellent game. So yeah, definitely have to stay tuned for that one. But speaking of, we want to touch on the baseball season a little bit because baseball is right around the corner and it's going to be here before you know it. You know, time flies. It's already 2026. You know, the spring season is going to start and they are number 5 in the AAC preseason poll. So that's kind of fun. We'll see how they do. And obviously the American Conference Tournament always takes place in Clearwater. So whenever that takes place, which, you know, we'll talk about it as the season progresses, their chances and whatnot. But yeah, it should be a really fun baseball season. So we'll talk about that a little bit more as the season draws closer. But I wanted to give them a shout out because, you know, I was a baseball player growing up. Baseball's, you know, probably my favorite sport. But yeah, USF's baseball team, they're going to be pretty fun. But were there any women's soccer news? I know that they kind of had some recruits, right? Did you have any that you wanted to touch on, Mr. Treat, before we log off?
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, now that the season's over, I mean, they've already, you know, started signing some people, a couple from high school and a couple from, transfers. Jada Alexander, who's a defender from Cardinal Newman, has just top level club experience. And then Avril Clark from Gulf Breeze High School in Georgia. Scouting reports have her as, you know, listed as a stud defensively and capable of playing on either outside back spot. So noted as also one of the top defenders in Georgia. So that's exciting. And we got some goalie action going on. Kylie Sendulek from the Vancouver Rise Football Club. She was part of the Canadian Women's U-17 team. Defi has that experience and she's, you know, played with, you know, top competition. So curious to see, you know, how things work out. And of course, our goalie will be returning. So it's not like, you know, we're looking for our starter right now. But the ones I'm a little bit more excited about are probably the ones, you know, that have kind of already, you know, played a little bit in college, know what, you know, NCAA ball is like. Anita Quintero, who's transferring from UTEP and also part of the Panama national team. Multiple appearances, starting in international matches, made 5 appearances on the U-20 Panama squad, 5 goals, 10 points, and 17 games in one season at UTEP. So that one I'm excited about. Joel Stinson, she's a defender from UT Martin, started 14 games as a freshman, did get actually one assist as well. So she was part of 4 conference shutouts in her freshman year at UT Martin. So definitely an impact player. And then we got Reese Roop from Texas A&M, 12 games, more of bench player, but it just, you know, comes from experience playing with a big program. Texas A&M has, you know, just SEC soccer is also almost not as big as SEC football, but don't count it out. When it comes to, yeah, NCAA soccer, they're up there. So We got a transfer from Orlando, from the University of Central Florida. She decided, you know, I no longer want to be a Knight. I want to be a Bull. So Audrey Buck, defender, just experience. She was part of their, you know, Big 12 or, you know, the NCAA tournament team with UCF's team. So just, you know, clear opportunity just to get as many minutes as possible, make an impact. And last but not least, we have Ellie Pitts, who's a defender from Mississippi State, former All-American defender, training in another big SEC program. So there's definitely going to be more and more signings, of course, for men's and women's soccer. George Kiefer is cooking it up with his team over there. And pretty sure by now he's already got some more guys from Grand Canyon University. But, we'll discuss that, later on, because I'm sure they'll get some other recruits as well.
Yeah, man, I'm excited to see what the women's team can do, because that sounds like all kind of similar to the football team a little bit, in that they're getting a lot of recruits from some big time programs. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a lot of fun to watch moving forward for sure. Wanted to touch on that before we logged off, because we are nearing the end of our show. Really appreciate y'all for tuning in. Like I said, hit that like and subscribe button if you like what you heard, because we will constantly be talking about USF athletics. The season never stops. There is no off season for USF athletics. We'll be talking about some football as well next week. We'll talk about the UNT game for the men's basketball team, as well as the Memphis game for the women's basketball team, regardless of the results of those. But really appreciate y'all for tuning in. Thank you to my wonderful co-host, Mr. Musab Tariq, for making my job super duper easy. We'll see y'all next week. But until then, and as always, go Bulls.
Go Bulls.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.